Good afternoon. It's so good to have you here with me again, studying the book of Nehemiah. Our text today is taken from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5a. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5a. You may read from the screen or from your personal Bible. And I shall read the text for you. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sent. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, O Father, instill in each heart a deep love for your word, that all the congregation may be grounded and rooted in the faith. Open our spiritual eyes now to see the invisible things of God, and to turn our hearts and affections heavenward. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When have you dreaded having to talk with someone? Perhaps when you ask future father-in-law for his daughter's hand in marriage. Or when you had to tell your parents that you wrecked their car. What motivated you to go through with the conversation? What threatened you to keep you from having the talk? Nehemiah faced one of those dreaded conversations, except an awkward moment was not his biggest fear. He feared for his life. Last week we saw how Nehemiah prayed for God's forgiveness and blessing toward the people of Israel. Nehemiah then asked God for an opportunity to speak to the king about Jerusalem's plight. Let us now see what exactly happened after that. Roman numeral 1. The opportunity. The opportunity. And letter A. God's perfect time. God's perfect time. In the month Kislu, November, December, Nehemiah asked God to prosper, quote unquote, this day. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 and 11. God asked his request, however, in the month Nisan, March, April, 4 months later. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 reads, And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, not be before time sat in his presence. Think of the dedication Nehemiah showed in praying for his people for 4 months. Often man's timetable doesn't match that of the all-wise God. God answered Nehemiah's prayer in his good time, and Nehemiah remained faithful until then. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Do you recall of incidents in which God answered your prayer according to his timetable rather than your own? God may have begun answering Nehemiah's prayer on the day Nehemiah uttered it by cultivating a special rapport between the king and Nehemiah. By the time the events of chapter 2 occurred, the king was evidencing significant respect and sensitivity toward Nehemiah. We have no way of knowing how many times Nehemiah had seen the king since he had started praying intensely, roughly 4 months earlier. Again, for your context, the king who is discussed here is King Artaxerxes I, whose reign went from 464 to 423 BC. His father, Xerxes, also called Ahasuerus, the king in the Book of Esther, ruled from 486 to 464 BC. Letter B, Nehemiah's fear. Nehemiah's fear. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 2 reads, "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid." God answered Nehemiah's prayer in an unusual way. One day, when Nehemiah presented a cup to the king observed that Nehemiah looked sad, chapter 2, verse 2. His countenance clearly displayed the results of 4 months of persistent prayer. Persia may have been celebrating its joyous spring festival at this time, providing a context of merriment for the king. This congenial atmosphere would have made any request more acceptable. Many regions surrounding the ancient Near East celebrated the coming of spring as a part of fertility cult worship. This cult worship has its source in old pagan polytheism. Doubtless, Nehemiah had continued to mourn and fast during these 4 months. His sober and contrite attitude and restrictive diet would have produced a somber appearance, making him stand out more. Now, ancient kings were not accustomed to anyone being sad in their sight, and did not tolerate it, as it could be a sign of bad news or palace intrigue. Furthermore, the king had enough of his own problems without caring for those of his servants. Nehemiah had not been previously been distressed in front of the king, chapter 2, verse 1. When the king asked Nehemiah why he looked sad, Nehemiah became deeply afraid. He knew that such behavior was contrary to Persian law and protocol, and that the king held the power of life and death over him. By the way, were there experiences from your own life when you were trusting God while still experiencing the human element of fear? Is it all right to feel fear even while trusting God? We sometimes continue to feel emotionally afraid while we decide to trust God. But God can and will replace our fear with peace as we pray about our anxieties. Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 to 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Moving back to Nehemiah, his appearance seems intentional. It appears he let his sadness show so that he might have an opportunity to speak to the king about the plight of Jerusalem. If he didn't somehow spark the conversation about Jerusalem, then the topic probably would have never come up. Nehemiah wanted the conversation to start so he could ask the king to order the rebuilding of Jerusalem, a reversal of the king's earlier decree. The king had previously ordered all work on the Jerusalem wall to cease. See Ezra chapter 4, verse 21. Let us see Nehemiah's wisdom and boldness. Nehemiah's wisdom and boldness. Nehemiah could have cowered and denied at the last minute that he was sad. But he viewed the king's question as God's open door instead. He took his life in his hands and went through the open door, answering the king wisely and boldly. He courageously told the king that the place of his forefathers' graves was in ruins. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 3 reads, "And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" Nehemiah's response reveals his discretion and sensitivity to the Persians' practice of honoring their dead ancestors and carefully preserving their graves. He mentioned his ancestors to gain King Artaxerxes' sympathy. Furthermore, Nehemiah avoided directly referencing Jerusalem. Why did he do that? He had probably researched Artaxerxes' previous statement on the matter of rebuilding Jerusalem, which reads, "The letter which ye sent unto us hath been plainly read before me, and I commanded, and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition hath been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded, until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings?" Ezra chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. In other words, King Artaxerxes was saying that, number one, Jerusalem had a history of being a rebellious city. Number two, an independent Jerusalem would not pay tribute to the Persian Empire. Number three, the king would be dishonored by a successful Jewish rebellion. Number four, a rebuilt Jerusalem would be able to conquer the Persian territory to the west of the Euphrates River. As such, in his conversation with the king, Nehemiah exercised remarkable prudence by avoiding directly referencing Jerusalem to avoid political connotations. Did King Artaxerxes punish Nehemiah for his open expression of sorrow? This brings us to Roman numeral 2, God's control. God's control. The king did not punish Nehemiah for his open expression of sorrow. Instead, he asked Nehemiah how he could help him. Chapter 2, verse 4. The king's unexpected response is a testimony to God's control over the king. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4 to 5a. "Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king." How did Nehemiah demonstrate his dependence on God? He immediately asked for God's help in a short prayer. Remember that Nehemiah's short prayer built on 4 months' worth of scriptural, heartfelt, intense prayer. He had prepared him for this moment by putting his trust in God into practice. The opportunity and God's control. Nehemiah dreaded having to talk with the king, but his biggest fear was not the awkwardness of the moment. He feared for his life. But Nehemiah boldly continued the conversation. Diplomatically and courteously, he informed the king about Jerusalem's devastation. The king then asked Nehemiah how he could help him. And Nehemiah immediately looked to God in a short prayer. What did Nehemiah say to the king after praying? And how did the king respond to what Nehemiah said? We are running out of time, so we'll look at these questions next week. What I would like to do in conclusion is to focus in greater detail on verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 12th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sat in his presence. From Kislu to Nisan, that's how long Nehemiah prayed. He began to pray in the month Kislu, chapter 1, verse 1. That is November, December. The answer did not come till the month Nisan, chapter 2, verse 1. That is March, April. Nehemiah waited for 4 long months. And the longer he waited, the greater the burden became. The longer he waited, the more offensive the reproach was to him and his people. Part of December, all of January, February, and March, and part of April. Can you wait that long to get an answer to your prayers? Sometimes God asks us to wait months and even years. But while we wait for his answer, we are to persevere in our prayers. More than 100 years ago, George Mueller, that prince of intercessors with God, began to pray for the salvation of a group of 5 personal friends. After 5 years, one of them came to Christ. In 10 years, 2 more of them found peace in the Savior. He prayed on for 25 years, and the 4th man was saved. For the 5th, he prayed until the time of his death. And this friend, too, came to Christ a few months afterward. For this latter friend, George Mueller had prayed almost 52 years. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." Remember, hurry is the death of prayer.